This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Callie Crossley. We're listening to violinist Christian Tetzlaff. If this sounds really good to your ears, that's because Tetzlaff is using a secret weapon, a bow made by master bowmaker Benoit Roland, to help coax even more golden tone out of his violin. Yesterday, Benoit Roland was awarded a MacArthur Genius Grant. Over the next 5 years, he'll get $500,000 of grant money with no strings attached. Benoit Roland's bow making studio is in Watertown, and we're lucky enough to have him in our studio right now. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
I'm so excited to talk to you about this because you craft bows for violas, violins, and cellos. You do it all.
That's right. It's my work. Let me describe roughly what a bow is. It's made in three parts first. The stick that is carved in a Pernambuco wood, that is a Brazilian wood, an endangered species nowadays. And this wood is used since three centuries because it combines strength, flexibility, density, sounding aptitude, if I can say that, and aesthetics. And the most remarkable feature is that it keeps its shape over the time, meaning that a bow that had been made early 19th century is still playable nowadays, and many violinists are playing those kind of bows because they are old and beautiful and they have a story to tell. This is the first part. The second part is the frog. That is a piece of ebony sliding along the stick and fitted with silver or gold according to the quality of the bow. And the third part is the bow hair ribbon. It's horse hair. And this bunch of hairs are affixed into the frog. And in the second part of the bow that is called the head. And this is this hair ribbon that is in direct contact with the string. So as you know, the musician uses it to make the string of his or her instrument vibrate and ultimately, of course, transform those vibrations into music.
So now there's a couple of things that you just said there that people should know. And I'm talking to Benoit Roland, and he is a genius as of yesterday's announcement by the MacArthur Foundation, one of the local awardees of the MacArthur Genius Grant. He's a master bow maker. He's just described for us what a bow is. But what we know from your biography is that the Pernambuco, the wood that was used that had all the flexibility that you talked about, is so scarce and endangered that you moved to a new direction by using composite materials in crafting a bow. Well, this is revolutionary, really, in the world of bow making, and yet you did it, and this is one of the reasons that the MacArthur Foundation acknowledged your work. So how did you come to figure out the composite material that might work similarly to this wood that had been used for so many centuries?
Well, in 1982, I moved to an island in France, Île de Bréhat. It's a magnificent island. And, of course, I moved also because I wanted to sail. I love sailing and solo or with a small crew. And as a sailor, I was in direct contact with those technologies, modern technologies, allowing carbon fibers, glass fibers with the different polymers like polyester resins and epoxy resins and all of those materials, and Kevlar at this time also. And all of those materials were extremely reliable, and I thought to myself, why not make a bow with these new materials? I knew since 1971 when I entered the bow making school, where I was lucky enough to learn bow making by under the direction of Bernard Houchard, who was a fantastic and remarkable bow maker, that even at this time the Pernambuco wood was endangered, an endangered species. So, as a bow maker and as a musician, I was concerned by this problem, and I thought I should anticipate the day where the Pernambuco will be unfindable. So all of this led me naturally to create a bow in carbon fiber. The main purpose was also so to propose a very reliable substitute material, and also allow the students to play a very good bow that is comparable in characteristics like to the best traditional bows at an affordable price. So I did it.
And people are using it all over the world. Musicians are using, I mean, you use it, but musicians of some note that other folks may know. I'm just going to throw out a few names here. Arthur Grumio, Slava Rostropovich, Stefan Grappelli, Ivry Gitlis. These are just a few of the names of the superstars who are using your bow to great effect.
Yes. I'm very honored to make bows for such personalities. Well, but you know, the carbon fiber bows is a parallel is parallel to my career. My main activity, my main work, is to create conventional bows in Pernambuco, and I created this carbon fiber bow in 1991, something like that. Forgive me if I am not precise enough. but the production had stopped, and for reason I am not going to talk about here. But my, as I said previously, my main work is to make traditional bows. So I'm now in Boston and making this work since now 41 years.
So here's the thing that I think a lot of people will be interested to know about you, because I think we think, how does a person become a bow maker? Well, you apprentice to a great bow maker in France. In fact, your work was so good that you were named a master in France. So you're being a little modest here. So they already knew you were a genius in France before the MacArthur Foundation knew anything. But what's interesting is that you yourself are a musician, and you come from a family of musicians. And you play the violin. I'm interested to know why you just didn't play. Why make a bow? Why not be a musician?
Right. I started first piano at 4, and I learned this instrument and music with my grandma, who was a famous concert pianist at her time in France. Then at 9, I was fascinated by the violin. And I wanted to switch from piano to violin. So I did it, and I fell in love with this instrument a few months later. And then I decided to become a professional musician. So I worked accordingly, and I entered several conservatories and music schools, and the latest were Paris and Versailles, where I was graduated. So all of this musical background led me naturally to understand very well what a violin is as a player, but I was still very intrigued and fascinated by the instrument itself. So, well, as I like to take apart things, you know, I wanted to know more about it, and I wanted to learn violin making. And then, a while after this, I had the chance to see a magnificent bow that was mounted with tortoise shell and gold, and the varnish was fabulous, and the wood and mother of pearl. I could not believe what I had under my eyes. And I knew at this very moment that this is exactly what I wanted to do. And believe it or not, as a violinist, I even didn't know that a bow was made by a bow maker.
Hmm. You just, like the rest of us, we didn't stop to think about how are they made. Right.
Yes, I thought it was made by the violin maker, and that's it.
Now, why not make the, you could have made the instrument as well. You said you were kind of interested in that, but you just got, just the bow just did it for you. It was the most fascinating part.
Yes, it fascinated me because a bow is the link between, I would say, yes, the conveyor of the emotion, the personality, the musicality, the feelings, and the human nature of the instrumentist to the instrument. So it has to behave like a muscle, and he has to be adapted to this person, because when a violinist is not comfortable to play with a bow, there is something that is constantly bothering him or her. So, on the contrary, when the same person plays with a bow that is exactly fitted to his or her needs, then this person can forget the bow and play freely the music. And this is my goal. I aim at that.
It's almost as though the bow then becomes a part of the person, of
exactly,
the musician.
Exactly, exactly. And this is what fascinates me in the bow.
I'm speaking with Benoit Roland. He's just been named a MacArthur Genius Grant awardee because he is a master bow maker. So here's the question we love to ask all the people who get this grant. Where were you and how did they contact you to tell you that you had won?
Well, I was in the middle of a meeting with my patent lawyer, you know, because I have several patents to envision. So the telephone rang, and someone asked me, "Are you Benoit Roland?" Yes. So I thought at first it was a solicitation call. So I asked him to repeat the name of his company, and he said, MacArthur Foundation. Do you know it? So, I do know it. But you know, you have been nominated as a MacArthur Fellow for this year. So there was a blank on the line. And asked, the next question was, are you serious? And now he had to convince me that it was true. I could not believe it.
So I've heard one of the awardees in the past say it was like being sprinkled with fairy dust. The possibilities are so wide open. What will you do? Or have you figured out what you will do with your grant?
Of course, I will continue my work first and take advantage of those advantages. I don't know how to put it, but to continue my inventions. I have several inventions cooking, you know, on the stove. I don't see that because I'm French.
Okay. Well, I don't know. If I were you, since you like sailing, I'd take the bow out on a new boat. Just a suggestion.
Sure. Why not?
I've loved talking to you. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.
I've been speaking with MacArthur Genius Grant winner Benoit Roland. He is a violinist and a master bow maker based in Watertown. And he's part of our Genius Next Door series. We'll be speaking to other local winners soon. Thanks again.
My pleasure.
We're going to continue the political conversation with our 30 Issues in 30 Days election coverage. Today, we're looking at poverty. It's a word that's barely crossed President Obama's or Mitt Romney's lips in this election season. But with 47 million Americans living in poverty, should our political leaders be talking about the poor? Should the government be playing a bigger role in chipping away at it? We'll be bringing you that conversation. I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio.